Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Happy Easter.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning and happy Easter. Nothing says happy Easter like a little Easter accordion music. And I can actually play that song on the accordion part of the way through on the right hand. Great to have you along today. It's not April Fool's Day, but it's Glenn and Sarah in for John once again today. Thanks for joining us. Happy Easter. I know at our household there's still some Easter candy left, still some chocolate in the house 2 days in. So
that's miraculous.
Make that last a little bit longer here as we have 8 days of Easter and then the Easter season. But the octave continues as we ought to look at each and every day, just like Easter. All righty. Well, the kids were in Easter form there this morning. How are you doing, Sarah?
Oh, I'm doing great. And yeah, there's hardly any Easter candy left. They are, they get so much, they don't know what to do except constantly eat it. And it's so funny because, the baby now too. I told him, I'm like, you need to get a lock and a key. This girl is going to find whatever it is and she will eat it. And she just loves, she finds it amusing because she knows she's not supposed to be. And you can just see her face. She's got that shocked look, always trying to go for the gum. She had these little Easter eggs that were little pieces of gum. And, she's two. She didn't need any gum. Why do you have gum? You don't even know what you're doing. And, always got to try to pry the jaws open and steal it. So I'm like, guys, come on. You're not going to have any candy left. That's all I'm going to say. It's not going to be from you. It's going to be from her. She's getting into the Sour Patch Kids and everything. Goodness.
Oh, man. Well, that's something you think of, like little kids and gum. What's the age when they figure out, okay, you just keep chewing it, but you don't swallow it.
It's different from most products. Usually you're right. You chew and you swallow. This is what we've been taught. No, keep chewing. It doesn't taste good. Keep chewing.
Plus, with kids and candy, you got to do a thorough search of the room every once in a while. You never know if, like Halloween treats get kind of squirreled away, or Easter treats for that matter in the room,
There's usually a trail of garbage because they haven't figured out that's where the garbage can is for. So there's usually like a residue. I can find it pretty quickly. Oh, but yeah, I found today or yesterday in our playroom, there was like half a chocolate bar smashed underneath like part of a blanket. I was like, come on, guys, eat the whole chocolate bar. What is this? But it was a nice little treat for me, but happy Easter. <Mom's,
laughs> it's movie time and you didn't grab something at the store for treats. Hey, let's just go check the kids.
Yeah,
room. You never know.
Go check the couch over there. There might be some treats left.
Oh, maybe what you need to build for those kids is a little storage cabinet or something. After all, it's do-it-yourself day today. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes those turn out better than others, but hey, it might be a good idea.
Oh, man. It all started out so well back in like wood shop in junior high school where, you'd make the little wooden shelf or some of these do-it-yourself things. And I tell you, as far as doing it yourself, my dad was a carpenter, so he was a pro at doing it yourself. I mean, this guy, he's been passed away a long time now, but he built his first house after he was married.
Oh, wow.
And they had moved a couple years after that. And then the house they bought in St. Paul, they were the first owners, and finished the, it was a story and a half, finished the upstairs, finished the basement, got the wood paneling from back in the day. He built the garage, built the porch on the garage, built the shed on the garage. And, he was great at doing that stuff. And I think it's a good lesson in possibly nature over nurture. Because I was around for, not some of that initial building stuff, but handing him tools every Saturday for 18 years. He lived there, even as a little kid, probably. But I was adopted. And so, I can appreciate the work that goes into the do-it-yourself stuff, and have some knowledge of that, but not a lot of joy found in doing that. I'd rather interview the person who made the thing than be the one who has to take it out of the box and reassemble it, painting I can do. A little bit of minor wiring. Plumbing I don't usually try and tackle. I admire like crazy the people that have those skills. Our neighborhood, for example, the thing was, if you had a sprinkler system, it was horrendously expensive with city water. So the deal was you had to have a second water meter, which you had to buy for a fair amount of money from the city, and then do a little plumbing in the basement to, put that in the line. And there was a neighbor guy that wasn't a professional plumber. The professional plumber, because of the union rules, couldn't do, side jobs. Oh, but this other guy could. And so it was kind of like, hey, it's a Saturday night. He'll do a couple houses at once. So he hit my neighbors in mine. And it's like 10:30 before we start in the basement. And my wife is hiding upstairs to stay out of the way. There's the guy working really hard on it. And then there's another guy that's all muscle in case we really need to crank on some pipes. And then the other neighbor guy just sitting there sipping a beverage. And, of course, it's my house. I got to make sure nothing blows up. So, you know, I'm there. And happily, it passed inspection by the city afterwards and still works to this day, even though if it looks kind of interesting. But, yeah, the do-it-yourself stuff, and different folks in the neighborhood are handy about different things. And, you know, I'm happy to do the snow blowing up and down the sidewalk and, you know, lend a device here and there. But you work in radio, huh? Yeah. You know, if your kid needs a bedtime story read or you need the latest news, I can do that for you.
This is what they're I can help you with. These are my talents.
And they're like, well, you work in radio. Do you get like free concert tickets or something?
No, I read bedtime stories, okay?
So I don't know. I mean, do you like do you ever do those, you know, you buy it. IKEA is one of the stores where everything mm-hmm. comes in a kit and it comes, I think a lot of their stuff, even without words, as far as directions, it's just the diagrams. Have you had experience having to put a lot of those together, maybe even in the college days or anything?
Yeah. Well, first of all, your dad sounds like he was like, what is that? Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. That's what I'm imagining here, building his own house. My goodness.
All kinds of stuff.
Pretty impressive. I enjoy putting stuff together. I do like doing that. Getting something from IKEA is like putting a Lego together. You're right. There are no words, but it's not in color. So it's just black and white pictures. And hopefully you can get your project at the angle that the picture is to try to figure out what they're actually putting in there. Sometimes they give you nice little letters or numbers to tell you which screw or which piece is labeled this way. But it can be pretty challenging. My husband, God bless him. Because if I see a project that needs to get done, I don't necessarily wait for like another person to be the, you know, like how you were saying in your project, you had, you know, one guy for muscle, one guy to do the project, one guy to have a drink. I would just like, you know what, I probably could be all those people. And so I kind of just jump into it thinking, how hard could it be? You know, maybe I watched one YouTube video on it. I mean, he did it really easy. There's not gonna be any problems. One time I tried to change our thermostat and I was just in the middle of the project. It was like, of course, it was right before we were having a birthday party. Lord knows what was going through my mind that I thought I'll just really quickly in the next 10 minutes just change out, you know, this one for that one. And my dad came to the party because he was coming and he was like, what's happening here? He was like, get out of here. So my dad, my dad is very handy as well. So whenever I screw up one of these projects, I would be like, dad. He gets one of these little calls from me. So, yeah, it's always handy to have someone who's handy when you think that you're handy and it, you know, doesn't end as well as you wanted it to do. Because, I mean, I've just changed, like, light fixtures and bathrooms just because I was like, I mean, you know, you turn the power off and twist a couple of wires. How hard could
generally,
it be?
Generally, you turn the power off. Yeah,
it's usually, I know that. Turn off the power first. I mean,
but, well, Dan, I think... Dads like to, you know, to get that call. Dad, can you help?
You know, well, you feel useful. And, you know, that's his thing. He likes to do that, too. So it's a very enjoyable process. I don't know if he's in the middle of a project himself. He might not enjoy the call. But, yes, I mean, for sure. We're saving up a bunch of projects for when he retires. We're already writing a very long list so that he has something to do because there's all these projects. I'm too busy now to have that 10 minutes to with four kids to just all of a sudden change out something on a whim. So I've learned a little bit, I guess, over the years.
Oh, but it being the handy one in the neighborhood, I mean, you get known for that. And my dad kind of got known for that. And in the heart of his construction days back in the 70s, I know the neighbors across the street in the 70s were the era of shag carpeting. That was fairly tall, you know, and I think they might even have sold these shag carpet rakes.
Wasn't there a rake or something?
I think so. And they'd keep getting new and taller carpet. And so they'd have him come and like trim off the bedroom doors so they would, you know, you could close them actually.
That's funny.
And
yeah.
I think those doors by the end might have been, you know, knee high off the ground. You know, they got about three different times going over there to, you know, keep making them shorter as they got taller and taller carpet. And then locally here, the neighbor guy is pretty handy with stuff. You can do more than read the bedtime stories. But often he'll do outdoor projects, and he loves always doing something, and that's very handy. And so in the summertime, you know, it's a friendly neighborhood, and so we'll get, you know, four to six other people, you know, watching him work. So we always pretend we have the homemade cable show, watch Josh work in whatever his new project is. And you know, pretend we're doing one of those This Old House episodes or something. But anyway, enjoy safely, do-it-yourself day. And when you can't, there's always Dad to holler for help. All right. We don't have to do it ourselves. We've got experts in tech coming up. Mark Mastriani next. He's going to figure out how to program your VCR. That's coming up next. No, either that or talk about AI as we continue with more of Morning Air next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost. What you know? Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring.
Oh, it rang this morning, even earlier than that. Edward Up and Adam here as Morning Air continues. It's Glenn and Sarah in for John today on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Thanks for joining us along with Davy Jones, the cute monkey, right? Before the hour is through, we're going to talk some marriage stuff. Is it really supposed to be hard? Doug Hinderer joins us before the hour is through. New Story Corner coming up before the end of the hour as well. Now we dive into tech a little bit. He's got 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience, and almost that long being on Morning Air here as well, helping us to look at the tech landscape as new stuff comes along. Mark Mastriani joins us today. Mark, good morning. Great to have you along.
Great to be on with you, Glenn. I'm so glad to be with you on Tech Tuesday. To your point about the time I've been here with you in Morning Air, it's been so wonderful to grow in my faith with Relevant Radio and Morning Air. This week is especially special because not only is it Easter, alleluia, but it is also the first week where Relevant Radio can be heard here in central Indiana. I live in the suburbs of Indianapolis. And my parish mates and friends and family could always hear me on Tech Tuesday online or through the podcast. But now they can actually tune in to Catholic Radio Indy and hear us live on Tech Tuesday this week and going forward. So it's a very exciting
time. That is great. I believe that just hit the airwaves yesterday. And so that is some great news. It was no April fooling, and that technology of over-the-air radio is still a great deal, and we're happy to be in Indianapolis and some 200 other stations around the country. And, you know, I think that was no accident with the big Eucharistic Congress coming up the middle of July as well. And so thanks to folks' generous support for helping that to happen to be on the air in the Indianapolis area. Hey, we're going to talk about AI today and giant tech heavyweights getting involved. Before we dive right into that, I was reading something a couple of days ago, Mark, about AI and how many companies are maybe claiming they use that even more than they actually do, because so many are assumed to be able to have that cost-saving technology in place. Are you finding that's the case, that it might be claimed more than it's actually put to use?
Well, I think it's both and, Glenn. That's a very good question, very astute observation. I think AI has been around longer than people actually have noticed it. And also, if you're a growth-oriented company, you better say something about your AI strategy and how you're infusing artificial intelligence into your products and services. Otherwise, why are you getting a risk premium, a growth premium on your growth stock? So I think it's a both and in many situations. There's been pattern recognition AI. There's been machine learning for speech to text for many years, but only in the last two have these large language models, these foundational models, really made AI more vernacular.
Now, Sarah, with us this morning as well, in terms of AI, if you had to bring AI into your life, even if it was a little more futuristic than what might be available today, is there a particular area of life that you think AI would really be handy in the Tafoya household?
Teleporter. I can't even imagine how many hours of my life I would save and be able to treasure if I didn't have to drive anywhere. I could just be transported to Relevant Radio in the morning. Man, I could get a couple extra winks if I didn't have to, like, cart kids everywhere. We just jumped in the teleporter and... Ah, that'd be great. That's on my list.
So much family life and development gets done in the car when you're, you know.
Yes, I love all the fighting. It's so much fun to be
turning around and you're swatting with your right hand to the back seat as you're trying not to swerve too much.
I mean, really, I joke that I have one of the worst driving record of the people that live in my house, which my husband is like, oh, well, we have a 2-year-old. That sounds pretty good. But really, considering the amount of time that I have to have my eyes not looking at where I'm going, it's still a very good track record considering.
we can actually take Sarah's point and bring it into some of the hot news. So two things that Sarah said are hyper relevant. The first thing is autonomous driving might be the half step towards teleportation, Sarah. So autonomous driving has been the promise of Tesla for over 6 years now. And more people are trying the free full self-driving mode on Teslas so that Tesla can kind of get out of this tailspin that they've been in for the last 6 months or so. Once full self-driving kicks in, who knows? There could be an autonomous fleet of Teslas that folks aren't using during the middle of the day out there on the road picking up and dropping off people and packages. So that's coming. That's coming soon in the 2020s. The other thing that's very interesting is, Glenn, you mentioned if you don't have an AI strategy, you better get one. And that's kind of one of the news stories from the week about Apple. So Apple last week announced that their Worldwide Developers Conference, WWDC, is a conference that they host every year for all the people who develop software and services on top of Apple's ecosystem. And this happens every year. And last year was when Apple announced the Vision Pro. And here's how I'm tying this into Sarah's challenge. What if more of your kids' lessons could be done virtually from the comfort of your home, so you don't even have to drive to karate could be taught over Apple Vision Pro from the comforts of your own home. So that's another possible way that AI gets introduced through these new platforms. Worldwide Developers Conference.
Just get the lamps and the vases out of the way, I suppose. That's important when you're doing that.
That's so true. Pad the tables and chairs with with soft cushions and bubble wrap. So Worldwide Developers Conference, June 10th to 14th, has been announced. And there's a lot of rumors floating around what they might announce there. And some of those rumors may be how these large language models that we just touched on, Glenn, could be found in your iPhone, iPad, and Apple Vision Pro. How does Apple take this word, this term, AI, and make it real for people in the Apple ecosystem? They better find a way, many experts say, to put a credible story around how their products utilize and benefit from artificial intelligence, starting now, starting at this June's Worldwide Developers Conference. Very interesting story. We'll track it here on Tech Tuesday as we get into May and June as well.
What do you anticipate that will be? Do you have any ideas, any guesses?
So I think Siri in all of our Apple products has been really criticized, and rightly so, for its inaccuracy, for its prompting when you don't want it to, for its mishearing, hearing you wrong when you're asking for a particular task or a web search. I think we're going to definitely see a huge leap forward in the functionality and practicality of Siri on the Apple ecosystem. There are similar announcements floating around with some of the other verbal assistants. So if you're in the Samsung ecosystem on the Android side of the world, they have a assistant called Bixby, and they admitted this week that their voice response needs a serious upgrade with the help of AI as well. So I would anticipate a ton of practical examples. Here's what Apple is incredible at. They're an incredible fast follower and storyteller. They were not the first ones with a smartwatch, but they use their smartwatch platform for health and wellness better than anyone else because of the story that they tell. And same thing goes with Siri and AI. I think we're going to see a bunch of very well-polished videos and testimonials from the stage of how AI can be used specifically with words.
So it sounds like even like all of us humans, AI just needs to be a better listener, huh?
It's appropriate that we're on Relevant Radio. We can go in a spiritual direction with that statement, Glenn. Yes. So there have been really bad speech-to-text and speech-to-conversation bots for the last decade. That's not new. But these large language models have been taught the English language on mountains of verbal data from books and audio on the internet. They're just so much better at turning our words into action. So a lot can be said about the the spiritual benefits of closing our mouths and opening our ears more. I think I heard about a 2-to-1 ratio in that regard, but we have definitely opportunity in technology to leverage audio listening. And then what do we do with that information? And how well can we quickly process it?
Tech expert Mark Mastriani joining us, part of this portion of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app, looking at AI and some of the new things that may be on the horizon. Been talking about it for a while and might be for a long while to come as well. Is that kind of race for the best AI kind of what has some tech giants on edge these days?
Yes, I totally agree that that's a definite statement. What's interesting, Glenn, is these foundation models and what you do on top of them. So what is we've covered this quite a bit on Tech Tuesday, but it's worthy of just a 10-second review. A large language model is like the pipes of the internet. You don't necessarily need to know how they work. You don't necessarily have to have every company involved in the build-out of the pipes and infrastructure of the internet. You just appreciate the handful of companies who have done so. Right now, the handful of companies who have done so are companies like Anthropic, that's aligned with Amazon. You've got DeepMind and Gemini, which are a part of Google. You've got OpenAI, which is aligned with Microsoft. And you've got Llama, which is aligned with Meta. Facebook. So these large language models have been taught how to listen and speak English. Okay. Then you've got applications that are on top of that. And that's where a lot of companies are racing to infuse and integrate applications on top of these large language models. So a great example is every podcast I've ever done here with Tech Tuesday. Over the next couple months, I plan to extract these podcasts, give them to an AI, and see if there's a book based on every single piece of audio that we've already generated together here on Tech Tuesdays, and see if there's a trend, see if there's a theme, and turn it into a potential book, right? Then what else can we do with these large language models? Voice assistance is a great option for those with vision impairment. So there's a lot going on right now in assistive technology as it relates to audio as an extra pair of hands for those who need it. Those are just a couple quick examples, but we're going to see a lot more coming forward. And that's really don't get too concerned about those foundation models and who's going to win. Essentially, think of them as the pipes and infrastructure that will enable great new applications, apps, right, to be built on top. It's not like someone's going to come around and destroy the dominance of Anthropic, OpenAI, Llama. Those three or four, that handful of powerful incumbents, it takes huge processing power and tons of data to train these large language models. So unless someone with $1 trillion and a supercomputer wants to try to go to battle with those big four, there's probably no large language models coming on the horizon to rival those four. However, they're all encouraging us to roll up our sleeves and give it a try. And I encourage all of our listeners, we're meant to be in the world, not of the world. So let's go dive in there. I'm trying myself. Let's go dive in there and try these free tools that a lot of these platforms are making available and see what we can do with it.
You know, Mark, it's interesting. I get to attend a news and journalism convention once or twice a year through Relevant Radio, one coming up later this week, as a matter of fact. And last year, for the first time, AI was one of the breakout session topics and how it is used, how it should be used, the ethics around using AI, and get a bunch of people who largely write for a living in a room, and you're thinking, well, everybody's going to be too proud to have something generated by something else with their name on it. But that wasn't the case. There was one very busy news reporter that, you know, would do the original work, but then if they also had to, you know, say they're working on their piece for a, you know, television newscast, but then they would use some of that info and let AI sort of rewrite the tinier version that might get posted on the station Facebook or Instagram, something like that. And we kind of came down after some discussion thinking, okay, we don't really want AI going out there being generative and writing its own story out of thin air based on, you know, a couple words you put in one end and it pops out a whole story on the other end all on its own. But if it's rewriting things that you've already, you know, if it's taken the big story you've written, turning it into a smaller story, some thought under the time pressure they had that that might be okay. At this point, the thought too is that, well, nothing should get published, as it were. We're out on the radio, however we can send things out these days, without human eyes having a look at it first. And that's kind of where we fell on it at this point, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure that'll be touched on later this week and how that might evolve over time, Mark.
Couldn't agree more. There's a lot to be added to this around copyright. And you mentioned something that's very powerful and important. It's called human in the loop. Artificial intelligence needs some coaching and guidance. It's still I would call it a tween at this point. Artificial intelligence, especially those large four foundation models, have been taught very well, and thus far, they're all behaving like tweens. They can spit back a summarized version of what they heard. They can condense down huge pieces of information very quickly. But as far as making a prudent judgment, that's still where we humans need to step in. Our virtues are God-given, right? What are we going to be doing? There's another metaphor that has come up regarding artificial intelligence, like the way computer science was disrupted with modern hardware technology. We still need electrical engineers who can understand how to build a computer, but we don't need as many as we used to. But the ones that we need to be superior in their skills. The second thing that we need to do is, again, have great individuals who know how to guide and put guardrails on the hardware and software that we're constructing. So couldn't agree with you more. We have an opportunity, right? This is just really the dawn of a new technology age, and I'm not afraid of it at all, because we've been given, we're in a post-Easter week. we are the resurrection faith. So we can embrace these tools. Tools are neither good nor bad. It's the intent and motive of the person who's holding the tool. So let's dive in there together, put some good guardrails on these technologies and use them for bringing forth the kingdom of God together.
Amen. Got to use the superpowers for good and not evil, and the superpower of AI, something at our fingertips these days and more so in the future. Thanks for this journey through the new stuff. As always, appreciated and look forward to the next chat. Mark Mastriani, enjoy and crank up that new Irrelevant Radio signal in the Indianapolis area as well. We continue Morning Air coming up around the corner. We'll have a story corner that's brand new for you before the hour is through, and marriage advice from Sarah and I, and maybe even better, Doug Hinderer. That's when we continue with Morning Air next here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with
John Morales,
Sarah Tafoya,
and Glenn Leverance
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning. Happy Easter. Thanks for joining us for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. It's Glenn and Sarah in for John today. Sarah, it's our turn to do a little marriage advice this segment. How about that? You got any particular tips to keep the love smooth?
Finally, it's our turn. We have so much advice to give. Let's get it out there. Yeah. Well, I haven't been married for that long. Only about, almost 13 years. So I don't know how much I can give, but I'll tell you this. This is what helps me, is that I have to remember that me and my husband are on the same team, and we're against those wild children. So we have to stay working together. Make sure you're on team parent and not on team kids. So stay focused there. And remember to laugh. Oh, gosh, you need to laugh, because sometimes the ridiculous things that are happening in your life, we just like look at each other and we're like, this is really happening. We can't believe it.
Oh, I love that advice, though. Keeping laughter in it is very, very important. And remembering you're a team, that's some language that we use as well. And I've always thought, too, that when you can, especially when the kids are little, once in a while to get away for, you know, like in the romantic movies, the rom-coms, when they're getting to know one another, it's like the Saturday all-day date, right? They're doing fun stuff in the afternoon, running around town, and then have dinner in the evening and all. But if you can do that once in a while and kind of remind yourself of why you got together in the first place, what you actually like about one another. And so, you know, those are some amateur tips, but how about some professional marriage advice here from a licensed marriage and family therapist? We've got one right here on staff. That's right. You can hear his new show every Saturday at 11 Central. Doug Hinderer joins us, and we've got him this morning as well. Doug, great to have you along. Happy Easter.
Same to you, Glenn. Thanks. It's great to be on with you. I don't think I've ever been on with you before, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, we'll try to make it not too painful for you, not as painful as folks dealing with marriage difficulties, but, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we want to throw that phone number out there, too. Folks can always give us a holler at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, if you have some marriage questions. After all, the program on Saturdays is called Marriage Unhindered, but is marriage supposed to be hard, Doug?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think originally, no, but then something happened called original sin, and then everything became difficult after original sin. So is it supposed to be? No, I don't think so. But is it? I do think it is. And I think that you've got to go into marriage with this idea that it's going to take hard work. But joy and happiness usually accompany hard work. When you work hard at something and you find success in it, it brings a lot of joy and happiness with it. You know what? We're in the middle of March Madness, or at the end of March Madness now, and you watch these basketball games, and these kids, they've worked their entire life so hard to get here, and then they win the game. What do they got? They got joy and happiness, right? And so if we take that hard work attitude into our marriage, the reward will be a lot of joy and happiness.
Well, a good lesson we can teach to our kids is things are hard at times, but you can do hard things. You can do hard things. So we can do that work. The fact that we are here, that generations of humans have made it by being together, usually married through the years to produce new generations. Others have made it before us, so we can do that too. But I think one of the things that that Sarah mentioned too, is that idea that we're a team, right? And you know, jokingly, a team parent against team kids, kind of. But that you're on the same team, and if you can disagree, we talk about kind of how we're lacking this in politics nowadays. Is that it used to be maybe in the most that there was the common good. Everybody could sort of agree with the common good. They might disagree on the way to get there. And now we kind of can't even agree on what the common good. But in the marriage, hopefully we can agree on the common good. But if we disagree a little bit how to get there, we'll just keep working at that part of it, since we're supposed to be on the same team. And if we just kind of can communicate, I think, is really one of the things that helps so much, is to, you know, not let those silently, let those problems build up that are small at first and then snowball.
I agree. And the thing that gets in the way of communication, talking about these things, is time. And one of the things I encourage all my couples to do is set aside 10 to 15 minutes every single day for just the two of them to have a conversation about us, about what I love about you, about, you know, what's going on in our lives and our marriages. And it is absolutely, without a doubt, the hardest thing that I ask my couples to do. Week after week, they come back and say, no, we couldn't find the time. We didn't find the time, especially if you've got young kids. So that's the hard work right there. Say, okay, how are we going to find 10 minutes every day just for the two of us to connect? That's hard work to do.
Hard work, but worthy work. And then a couple different conversations. I mean, one, and this is recommended for sure on a weekly basis, but to, you know, kind of make sure you're communicating about the business of the household, where the kids need to be, to this lesson, to that lesson, you know, who's going to bring out the trash because the truck's coming early because of the holiday this week or whatever it might be, some of the household business. But then also to not forget to just have some of that fun personal communication as well. Like, hon, how are you doing? You know, and how did, you know, not only what happened at work, but, you know, how did that make you feel? And not forget, you know, that's some of the spark that got us started right in the first place.
Yeah, right. And then really to take the opportunity to affirm and to compliment and to praise our spouse, you know, to connect empathetically. Boy, I can understand how you'd be upset today and these kids were out of control. And of course you snapped and yelled at that kid because, you know, he just spilt the milk, whatever, makes perfect sense. But you're a great mother. Don't worry about it. The other thing, I think the other point that Sarah made, which is excellent, is this idea of laughter and having fun in your life. And you know, when I start working with a couple, I have them complete a pretty thorough questionnaire for me online. And one of the questions is, are you having fun together? And beyond a doubt, they all say, no, we're not having fun together anymore. And laughter is one of the strongest indications of good mental health. People who are mentally healthy have laughter in their lives. People who do not have good mental health don't laugh. And so if the laughter is going out of your marriage, that's a warning sign that, man, we need to stop and redo a few things here. We take a new look at what's going on, because if the laughter is gone, that means there's a lot of pain that's showing up in its place.
Such a good point. And, you know, not just looking for events that can make you have, you know, joy in them, but finding that joy, that laughter in everyday life, being silly, recognizing maybe if something didn't go according to plan from time to time. We'll do shows on vacations that went awry. But those are the stories the kids remember forever. It's not the carefully crafted vacation, but it's when things went wrong and you made the best of it. And sometimes time is needed to laugh at things a little bit. But, you know, when we can, my in-laws took, my mother-in-law especially, took copious notes on their family vacations from when the kids were little. And there was some family reunion get together last summer, and she was kind enough to dig all of those out, which were meticulously crafted and written down, and just, you know, not like tons of pictures in a scrapbook, but just handwritten notes, and also the unhappy things too. And those were hilarious to read through, you know. And I think there was some pain and suffering from the young teens at the time in the back seat for some of those trips, but beautiful to look at and laugh at now. But to not be afraid to laugh, and, you know, when it's tough and you want to argue or you find yourself arguing about something, sometimes, you know, in a good marriage, the argument can end up dissolving into laughter. But as far as arguments, that might be one of the things. I mean, the wisdom of knowing what's worth fighting over. You know, we don't want to, you know, subdue things that are a real problem. But over time, wisdom kind of maybe tells you what's worth, you know, getting into a tussle over. How about for newer couples that maybe haven't argued a lot and they're almost afraid to have a little conflict, Doug?
Yeah, you know, a conflict can't be avoided. And I think you're not going to be able to avoid it. It's just part of our human nature. And, you know, the research out there is pretty clear. 69% of the conflicts that couples have are not solvable. You're going to be dealing with them the rest of your life. And, you know, I've used the analogy a lot, but in my marriage, I'm a morning person and my wife is a night owl. Well, over the years, that's caused problems and conflicts that you've got to negotiate and work your way through. And that's just kind of life. So you don't want to get into fights, but you can't walk away from the conflict areas. And I think one of the key themes to being able to manage these conflict areas is to have a real, true spirit of curiosity. So when you and your spouse are seeing things differently, well, then, you know, I must be missing something because I married a pretty bright woman. And if she's seeing something different or if she's irritated about something, I'd like to know what that is because I'm missing something. So if we have a spirit of curiosity, I really want to know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Tell me, open up your inner world to me so I can learn more about you. That helps you negotiate a lot of these difficult moments that just are inevitable in life.
Well, Doug, you're saying as a guy, you would actually ask your spouse and expect them to tell you things as opposed to just reading their mind?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? And this is the thing that most people don't know is that when God took the rib out of Adam, he took the mind reading rib, which is why us men are incapable of knowing what our wives are thinking, but they know exactly what we're thinking every minute of the day.
Okay, so guys, watch it. This is starting to sound a little one-sided. Let's get refocused a little bit here.
No, that's why you're so gifted, Sarah. That's why you're such a great wife, because you have insights into your husband that he will never have into you, for sure.
Well, how about, too, believing that, okay, the other partner, if we stop and think, they really probably didn't say what they said or do what they did just to make us mad. You know,
correct.
That's probably not a good strategy for a good marriage. And if we stop to think, if we can calm our anger a little bit and realize, okay, they probably didn't do that on purpose. You know, they might have thought this, so they did that or said that. But what was their intent? And to, you know, stop to try and figure out the intent by conversation as opposed to, you know, running with the wrong assumptions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think 99% of the times that we end up being hurt by our spouse or we hurt our spouse, it is not intentional. It is rarely intentional, but we get it wrong. We're just flawed. You know, we've got original sin. We've got defects. We have our own temperaments and our own interests and likes. And, you know, we're tired. We have a headache, whatever. And we just get it wrong a lot. And, you know, early in marriage, when the love is still so new and so intense, we tend to give our spouse a pass a lot. But as time goes on, you know, we tend to focus more on the negatives and on the positives, and then we tend to get a little less patient and less tolerant. And, you know, I think the devil's number one weapon that he uses to destroy marriages is he gets us to focus on our spouse's defects. And the more he can get us to focus on the defects, the more discouragement he can bring in, the more anger, the more frustration, the easier it is for him to rip a marriage apart. And so part of this, you know, 10 to 15 minute daily, you know, check-in with your spouse is about focusing on the positives. What is great about this person that God brought into my life? What do I tell her, listen, I love your patience. I love your kindness. I love, you know, these things about you. And that's a real cement that can glue marriages together.
One of the things too, Doug, I think as well is, and it varies, you know, through the different seasons of the marriage. When the kids are little, they take a lot of energy and a lot of focus, but it's a shared goal to work together. And, you know, even through the empty nester years, it's still important to retain shared goals. You know, you're always parenting your kids, even when they're adults. And, you know, if you're blessed to be a grandparent, you get to help with that again. But the shared goals of, so it doesn't become just our own individual camps looking for our own individual happiness, but shared goals of anything from just being a good example for other married couples, a good example for other married Christian couples, or, you know, have some shared goals that give us something to work together toward.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, when I work with engaged couples, one of the things we talk about is, you know, what are your goals for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? How do you see retirement shaping up for you in 40 or 50 years? And just to get them aligned on what their vision looks like going forward. And you're right. As you go through new phases of life, my wife and I became empty nesters last August for the first time in 40 years. And You know, okay, so what are our goals now that we don't have any kids living here? And what are, and now they're
probably,
you know,
change
they're
the locks, right?
Probably change the locks, buy a really small house so they can't move back. That's the idea. But, you know, but what are our goals now as empty nesters? And what are our goals? You know, where are we going to live? What are we going to do? And because goals shift and your interests and things shift. And so to have these check-ins, or these are good conversations for date night. You know, what are our goals? What do we want to accomplish? Where do we want to travel to? And things like that. So, yeah, you got to keep having these conversations. And alignment of goals is really critical.
Yeah. Now, as far as spurs for problems, right? It can be money. It can be how the kids are handled and things like that. But it is even a bigger deal in a successful marriage, Doug, the communication about whatever might be coming up, might be a health issue that was unforeseen, or just how we handle things, no matter what the thing is. Is that almost more of an important deal for a marriage than what the particular problem is?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I talk a lot about helping couples talk to each other gently. You know, where I'm careful about how I say things and I'm taking your emotions into consideration as we talk about things. And the other thing that's really important that a lot of couples don't do well is you've got to be able to make the ask. You've got to be able to tell your spouse what it is you would like your spouse to do. And especially women need to do that, because us guys tend to be a lot more clueless about these things. And a lot of times I'm afraid to ask for what it is I want because I don't want to get in a big fight. But if you're gentle and you tell me, guys love it when their wives say, hey, I would really appreciate it if you could fill in the blank, you know, give me a foot massage at the end of the day, or if you could just do the dishes. When guys are kind of like, man, if you just tell me what you want, I will do it for you. And a lot of times women tend to think, well, if you really loved me, you would know what I need. Well, maybe, but you're giving me too much credit. You know, I'm a guy and I'm just not that smart. And being able to ask for what it is you need is really important.
One quick minute left, Doug. Just when you got into the biz, is there something that surprised you about what was maybe in common that was the main struggle for so many?
A good question. I think one of the things that surprised me was how many couples I was working with who had only been married a year or so. And I thought, well, how could it go bad so quickly? But what I found is those couples made wonderful progress very quickly. And the idea was, you know, as soon as things aren't going well, get some help so you can get back on track. Working with couples who have married 30 years of fussing and fighting, pretty hard to change that train when it's going. So I think the deal is, yeah, early, get some help. And if I were the bishop, I would require post-Cana counseling for couples to help them. You know, the hard work is after you get married. Well, let's help you do that well. So don't be afraid to tap into wiser, older couples as you're just getting started for some good advice.
Very good. Good advice can be heard 11 a.m. Central, the new Marriage Unhindered program with Doug Hinderer right here on Relevant Radio. Thank you, Doug. Look forward to chatting again in the future. We continue with Morning Air right now in a story that was kind of popped up in a similar experience I've had with my father-in-law. Our story today called Spending Time with Dad by Joseph Mazzella. When I was a boy growing up, I looked up to my dad so much. Now, he was short and stout, but full of life. He could fix anything, and even though he came home covered in grease from his job as a mechanic, he'd still let me sit with him in his big reclining chair in the evenings. By the time he was in his 70s, however, his energy and vitality started to decline. A lifetime of smoking had brought on COPD, two types of cancer, and other health problems. After Mom and Nana both died, Dad moved into Nana's old trailer up the road from me. Seeing that our time together was getting short, I started to visit him whenever I could. I helped him tie up his tomato plants, change the tires on his truck, and fix things around the house. I helped him sort through and organize the dozen different medications he was on, but most of the time we just sat and sipped sweet tea and talked. We talked like we never had a chance to when I was a boy. We talked about family, life, what the future might hold, and told him I loved him, something I'd been too shy to say as a boy. And when the cancer finally attacked his brain and he had to be moved first to a VA hospital, then a nursing home, I missed those talks and my heart aches knowing that he soon would be taken from me. I'd grown closer to him in those last years than I had my entire childhood. After Dad passed away, my daughter moved into his home. It took me a while to get used to seeing her outside in the yard instead of him. I only wish that we'd had more talks together and that I could see him more, one more time, give him a hug and tell him how much I loved him. Looking back now, I'm so grateful that God did make use of the time I had left with my dad. He taught me so much about life, taught me so much about love. He helped me to become a better child, a better father, and a better man. I love you, Dad, and I miss you. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's our story for today. You can always replay the story any day or share it with others. It's available in app form on the Relevant Radio app as well as at relevantradio.com. Just look for Glenn's Story Corner, and we're always open to your suggestions. You can email those to us as well, something you've run across, or even written yourself, morningair@relevantradio.com. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. More of Morning Air coming up. We'll talk humility with Harry Kramer before the next hour is through. Father Scott Pogacnik joins us from Minnesota as well with a look at all the Eucharistic revival business going on this year. That and, you know, we'll dig up a little fun with Sarah, too. Morning Air continues next right here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.